Anderson's just like, ah! Why bother?
Fuck it.
Money is a lie. Money is a lie, and so is Oregon State football.
That's literally what he decided.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get off and rolling. You've looked over your ad read, I assume.
I just did. Yeah. And I have our own unique approach to it. Good. I don't think they'll be upset by it.
Excellent. Okay. Then Jason has the two I sent him, and we can get going whenever.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. We're coming into week 7 of the college football season, and I think it's a good time as time itself races away and we blow through the season. One where we open doors and step outside, realizing that the earth is turning. I say step outside as I hear Jason Kirk walking outside and a plane overhead because he's Indiana Jones and he's being stalked by Nazis, which he's in Kennesaw, Georgia, entirely possible. Hi, Jason.
Hey, come on now. That ain't right. That ain't right.
No, they're everywhere.
We didn't do anything to you.
That's what we learned from those movies, is that the Nazis are everywhere at all times. Except they're always white. They are always white people. That is a giveaway.
Listen, man, these days, that could be anywhere in Metro Atlanta, so remain vigilant. The demographic shifts of... spread the Nazis evenly all throughout, so don't pin that all on us.
And remember, you don't need a license to carry a whip. You can open carry a whip, and nobody can say shit about it.
Right. Remember, the only state that has open carry swords, Texas.
That's right. Oh, man. If Butch Jones started carrying a whip around just casually and, like, refused to answer questions about it and just started speaking in Indiana Jones ways...
But how many cool things from the past would sound real lame if Butch Jones was the first person to say it? Like, we're going to make our football stadium a temple of doom. Like, suddenly that would be the least cool thing you could ever call a facility.
Only the penitent man shall pass, and that's why we're a running-based offense. We need to get more penitent.
When we go to play Arkansas, we're going to raid the lost Arkansas.
I'm going to rip out another man's heart. Like, metaphorically? Nope. It's a motivational tactic.
Here at the bye week was so great, my face just melted off of my skull.
I like to think of Tennessee as a child mine.
Just young talent cycling through.
remember, there's going to be a time this week we've been telling everybody. This is why we got a refrigerator in the locker room, okay? And at one time,
everyone's going to get nuked. We were doing so well denying that movie even existed.
But when times get hard, we all got to jump in the fridge together.
Just get in the fridge.
I'm being chased down the tunnel of excellence by a boulder of victory, and I think it's going to roll right over me.
This team wants to have sex with Marion. No, that's not even that's direct. We'll go shot for shot with Marion. Maybe one of the top 10 best, like, female characters ever in the history of movies. Love you, Marion. Not convinced you're not real. I'll be honest. It's disturbing to me.
This took a turn.
But yeah, this did. Now I'm just confessing childhood crushes. Maybe adult crushes. Maybe lifelong fascinations. That's okay. Hold on. I'm not alone.
I want to try something. Marky Post.
No.
Okay.
I know. That's like you'd think. No, it's just missed.
Interesting.
That was real good.
Okay, that's all I wanted to try. We can continue.
Yeah, but that was a good shot because Night Court was very important to me as a very young child allowed to watch too much television.
Hold on. I want to try one more. John Larroquette.
Close. Close. Just as, like, a role model, Dan Fielding is, like...
Man, you know what? You know what makes our podcast so successful? We have the pulse of a young audience that just fucking loves Temple of Doom and Raiders of the Lost Ark and Night Court. We are just all over it. Guys, let's talk about Laserdisc. Today's sponsor, Laserdisc. Have you ever thought DVDs are too small and you can't kill another man with them? Good news, Laserdisc.
Laserdisc were great because
how many people do you think use their Laserdisc purely to snort cocaine off of?
Three, and none are real cool. Just not like
yeah, you've done bumps before, but have you ever snorted cocaine off Lady Hawk?
With extras? I do enjoy that if you really preferred to rate your media by size, you really couldn't beat Laserdisc, right? Oh. You're like, it's permanent, and it's the size of an ancient rune.
What if Captain America's shield could also hold the Doors movie?
Yeah, the one with the bad Batman, Val Kilmer. That's right. It's great if you consider the Doors movie to just be another Batman movie.
A Batman prequel?
Yeah, a Batman prequel where you're like, man, Bruce Wayne was wild. He got fat. That's crazy. We need to go ahead and just clear the decks because, you know, as we've gotten this deep in the college football season, I think there are things that we really haven't discussed enough. For instance, I don't think we've discussed enough that there are major football programs in this nation having abominable years, like bad years. Looking at you, Florida State. It's really bad. Our own Bud Elliott did a fine analysis on Tomahawk Nation of how weird this season is for them because, like, they are having a difficult time. They lost their starting quarterback, but the fall off has even been managed, like, strangely because Jimbo Fisher is calling Florida State's offense like he's Florida. Like, the pace, the offensive pace, how they manage that game, like, it's amazing how slow that team is just schematically and how often they punt when they shouldn't. Even now, like, even with their limited offensive situation, how conservative Jimbo Fisher is as a play caller and head coach, which isn't what I would have guessed, right? Like, I would have assumed, like, I'm like, well, I don't know, they play pretty loose. They play pretty fast, right? Not one bit, sir. Not at all. I was shocked reading that this week.
But not, like, disappointed.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Just to be clear.
It's like when you go, oh, man, this terrible person has cancer. I feel so bad for his family. That's when you know somebody, when you know somebody is really loathed, is when you're like, oh, man, they died. I feel so bad for his family. Not for them, right? Like, yeah, get them. Somebody who misses them, though?
Man, that's going to be a whole lot of paperwork. I hope they had a big enough place to put him.
Oh, his garage is a mess. Oh, you're going to have to burn that.
Right. So, like, when the thing you say in football or in sports, when you go, when, you know, there are blameless people who are on the team, you go, oh, well, they're having a bad season? I feel bad for those players, man. The bad for those players. They're trying so hard. They're not to blame in this.
But that's not who I feel worse for right now, player-wise. Oregon State. I mean, it's interesting to see that there is a certain segment of sports media that sees Gary Anderson leave that job in the middle of the season still being owed a good chunk of change. He could have stuck around and collected it if he wanted. He comes out and says, you know, basically the program is going nowhere. We don't have the personnel we need either, you know, on the roster or on the coaching staff, and I don't think it's going to get any better, and so I'm just going to leave. And there's a certain segment of the media that's like, that's admirable. That's admirable that he wasn't going to take any more money to fix this problem. And part of me kind of wants to be like, wait, what? Like, if you're a firefighter and you just, like, walk away in the middle of an inferno and you're like, yeah, you can keep my pension because I'm an honorable person, I don't know that you necessarily get a ton of praise for that. I don't know that we all get to, because those players are still, it's not like everybody's like, well, okay, Oregon State football's done now. We tried it and it just didn't work. Everybody, go do something else with your life. All those coaches are still there. All those players are still there. And this ends up being, like, quite a vicious burn for Gary Anderson to just say, like, yep, this is an unsprayable termite house. There's nothing we can do here.
Well, if you got termites, you need to get rid of the wood. And who's going to get rid of the wood better than a beaver? So I think this thing can correct itself. But like that $12 million, like, I mean, that'll be recirculated among the players, right?
Yep.
Like that's who it'll go to, right?
No, that.
Oh no, that is that not how it works? That's weird.
No, that goes back in free parking, and the AD who rolls 8 from their spot somewhere in, I believe, the orange properties, gets that.
Huh. Well, that's a shame. So that's all going into a big buyout bundle for, I mean, they'll probably like make a run at Chip Kelly or something like that, but that's not
Mike Riley, come on down!
Yeah.
Mike, nice Mike, come on home.
Please come home, Dad. Please just come home.
This would be nice Mike's second return after
a failed NFL run, I think.
The Chargers. The Chargers. That's what it was.
Yep.
Remember, everyone who's ever left a college job coached the Chargers.
That's true.
No one remembers it, right? This is we can begin now that we've decided to no longer be loyal to facts at all. We can just say that people did this, right? Like, remember when Nick Saban coached the Chargers?
Mm-hmm.
Happened.
Yep.
Remember when
Chargers East? Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when, you know what? That does actually feel completely false, doesn't it? When you're like, man, Nick Saban coached the Dolphins? Why? Why did that happen?
that feels even more fake. Who is the most prominent coach you think you could convince, like, the average fan they coached the Chargers in, like, 1996?
1990. Current prominent?
Jim Grobe.
Oh, sure. He probably did, though. He might right now.
Right. Current prominent coach?
Yeah, current. I got one. Ready?
Yep.
Clay Helton.
Ooh.
You know why?
That's
kind of anonymous now.
Right.
Would be kind of anonymous then, right? If you're like, yeah, man, Clay Helton coached the Chargers. People would be like, yeah, sure, for a year. Yeah, that happened.
That's also because, like, no one really knows where he came from. Man of mystery, parts unknown in wrestling terms.
Yeah.
I feel like you could convince someone that Mark Richt did it just because he was at Georgia for so long I think unless you were a active college football fan in the 90s, you probably don't know where he was before Georgia, Florida State. But I think you could probably hit him. Maybe Bob Stoops. Maybe someone who's just been in one place for a long, long, or was in one place for a long time.
Bud Foster. And you're saying, like, that's crazy. Cam Cameron was an NFL head coach. Fuck you.
Yeah. It doesn't, you know, consider this. A guy currently in the news as an assistant who never coached anywhere for longer than a year was making, like, you know, 7 figures to do his job and also doing cocaine off of strippers.
But romantic cocaine. Let's be clear. Romantic cocaine.
These lines are for you, baby.
You know what? Florida football could have saved itself a lot of trouble by being like, yeah, he also designed the uniforms, as it turned out. So, not our fault. Get mad at him.
Think about this, though. I was watching that, and I was like, if somebody sent that to me, I'd be kind of horrified. But a small, terrible part of me would have been complimented. Like, you know what? That's very sweet.
Well, let's review what was delightfully Florida about this incident. Number one, the bold proclamation that he's doing this at work. Because if you look at the video, there's nothing identifying about it. He just is in a nondescript office. Ostensibly, it could be a home office or, like, a business center at a hotel or some shit. So there's, like, he affirmatively is like, yes, I'm doing this during working hours. And that's number one. Number two, he's wearing shorts. And if you're wearing shorts to work and doing coke, wonderful. Number three, there is this oblique mention to somebody keeping a child. Which is great because it shows that you are aware that parenting has some legal responsibilities, but also you're doing this in the midst of sending your stripper Instagram model mistress a video of you doing coke at work. And number four, the ham-fisted cunnilingus reference.
Maybe. Let's not pair those two words.
The mental images were wild, man, just wild.
It's an emotional roller coaster. Child custody, love, cunnilingus.
I did think, though, I was like, man, no one's sent me, you know, a video lately of them saying I'd like to do drugs off of your genitals. And then I thought, that's a really poor surface for it. It's not even.
Well, it's so absorbent. Yeah.
It's absorbent, you know, it's not flat, right? Like, it's just not going to work for a lot of reasons, right?
It's just more trouble than it's worth.
Think about the inevitable doctor's visit you're going to have. So what seems to be the problem?
This story needs some setup, doesn't it?
So I'm seeing this guy, and he's kind of a mess.
He coaches in the NFL.
By the way, I just saw this like telling the story to like me, right? Like as the like attending doctor and me going like, girl, you know it. That guy. Quite a fella you got there. Chris Forster. Man, he must be really good at his job. Actually, he's never been anywhere longer than a year. I don't know how this labor system works at all.
It's the perfect meritocracy. All right.
It's just like America, stocked by 55-year-old guys snorting coke in their offices.
Just because, you know, 80% of the franchises are owned by broke dick inheritors who can't get a haircut or a suit to save their life doesn't mean it's not the ultimate meritocracy.
Well, at least the Dolphins' offense is very good.
Extremely good.
That much we know is true.
Jay Cutler good.
I saw a photo, by the
way,
of Jay
Cutler. Nearly scored on the New Orleans Saints good.
That's right.
Shot of him laying on the ground, like face first. And they're like, what is he doing here? And I'm like, man, that's Jay Cutler. Like, why are you asking what he's doing?
He's begging Satan to get back into hell.
Yeah. What is he doing? He's just chilling. He's just being, man.
Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I refused to torture. I was just super tired.
That's like extremely chill Ghost Rider.
Yeah. It's very hard to be a chill comic book character with your head on fire.
Ghost Napper.
Ghost Rider does a pretty good job.
It's Coast Rider. Because he's at Miami. Coast. He's on the coast. Yeah. Ugh, damn it.
This would also be the week, by the way, where we're talking about how there hasn't been a weekend on paper that you just look at. And go, yeah, that's it. Like maybe opening weekend, like right. Week one, but even then there was like week zero before that. There hasn't been a week where you go, whoo, man, there's some bangers. I do look at this week's schedule and I think I could see a lot of these things going sideways, which was true of last weekend too, right? Like there was some anticipation of these are games that could go very wrong.
Oh,
for
yeah.
For a lot of different reasons.
I'm the asshole who cut you off and insisted that Iowa State had no chance of beating Oklahoma. So, yep, good job, me. I know things.
I mean, I think we're on the fourth straight weekend of, well, at least it'll break.
That's the hope. And if you're looking for places where it could break, I am very interested in you, Purdue at Wisconsin. I am very interested in you, indeed.
That way we don't have to keep making up a loss to Wisconsin, right?
Right.
We don't. When it comes time, they'll be like, "Hey, Wisconsin's still undefeated in Week 9," even though they've been playing weak competition for the most part. Yeah, Purdue, Wisconsin. There's some life there. That could be terrifying for everyone involved. I'm not saying not Purdue. No, that could be terrifying for you too, Purdue. You're capable of hopping on that roller coaster of horror and fright just as quickly as everyone now because you have a little bit of hope. And when there's a little bit of hope in the equation, that's when things can really catch fire. It's like oxygen. Throw it into a fire and magical things happen.
Yeah, and if you're Purdue and, you know, hooray, we're cute, fun Purdue. We do interesting, weird stuff. Well, okay, let's see how that works against extremely uninteresting, unfun, uncute Wisconsin. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll go very poorly.
It's better than what it would have been last year, though. So, there's that.
Yeah. Things are looking up. 2017 is better than 2016. Better, there you have it.
Better in every way.
That and this, if I enjoy whenever Wisconsin gets into the red zone and the announcer's like, yeah, you know who you need to watch for? checks roster, checks roster. Troy Fumagalli. Mm-hmm. That's who you really need to watch for in the red zone. Who else? Troy. That's your receiver. Who else? I don't know. Let's just talk about Troy Fumagalli.
Jared Aberderis. Look out for him. You never know where he could be. You say, oh, he's Wisconsin. Not on the team anymore. That's what he wants you to think. It's the ultimate fake.
Wisconsin never gets new players.
Nope.
Never.
They just change. They just change their names and identities. That's it.
That's why coaches keep leaving. They're just too freaked out by the the lab of players they have underneath.
Jim Sorge. I was never here.
It's just Moon.
That's the movie I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Just the clone showing up to put the clone into the generator. So, all right, yeah, get on in there. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. There's 80,000 more of us.
The players who come back, like Jim Leonard, he's one of the original clones, mm-hmm. and it's his job to make sure none of the players find out.
That's Barry Alvarez just keeps cloning Barry Alvarez. That's all like Paul Christ. That's the reason like Anderson got out. It's like, oh no. Oh God.
I've learned too much.
I have to leave. I know too much. By the way, we're all like, man, Purdue's super fun
Barry
now.
Move
yeah,
really
they
would
are.
Be to like, when it comes to Barry, it's not even like, oh, we got a clone to replace him. I think Barry would just, you know who I'd like to speak with? Barry Alvarez. Order me up another couple of myself. Ah, this place is looking better by the
Great
day.
Great job, Barry.
Look at all these berries.
That's how Barry Alvarez actually got Wisconsin out of the basement anyway. Because remember, kids, Wisconsin wasn't good. They were a horrendous football program for a real long time before Barry Alvarez showed up in the 90s. And then through just a Herculean job and amount of labor, got them to be good. And it's easy to do that much labor when there are 20 of you. That's how Barry, Barry Alvarez is recruiting like crazy out of Wisconsin. I wonder how. They're like, hey, Barry Alvarez has showed up to your house. And they're like, we brought turkey. Brought turkey and Jack. Come on down to Wisconsin. I don't know why turkey and Jack Daniels seems like a Wisconsin meal. It just does. What's the salad?
I think all meals are pretty Wisconsin meals.
Yeah, it's true. We do, by the way, we do have this week, we have some weeknight games that, when you say, oh man, this could break, this could go sideways. Yeah, y'all. There's a couple of weird weeknight games. You know, we got Friday games, which are, of course, the bellwether for everyone's unprepared and anything can happen. Like Clemson going to Syracuse. Am I saying Clemson's going to get upset at Syracuse? No. Am I saying that it's going to be more of a struggle than they might have had so far? Yeah, Syracuse is kind of squirrely, y'all. Squirrely and aggressive.
Yeah. Syracuse is like babysitting a 3-year-old where you're like, listen, I'm smarter and stronger and I'm more psychologically secure, so I should be fine. And most of the time you are, but you know what? 3-year-old might get the best of you. 3-year-old might find its way to a crescent wrench, clock you over the head, and just eat nothing but frozen pizza rolls while you're passed out in the bathroom.
A Syracuse team that very nearly could have beaten LSU at home, which, take that for whatever it is worth, in the year 2017. One that played a close game against NC State. That's a 33-25 game. NC State, currently, you know, one of the teams atop the ACC. Playoff contender for Cole Kublik. Yeah, almost. It's crazy. Almost beat Middle Tennessee State. Legendary Middle Tennessee State. Gutted it out versus Pitt in a 27-24 overtime. And as you know, this podcast believes Pitt to be the gold standard against which all other teams are measured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pitt is our measuring stick. Pitt is a unit of biblical measurement. And Pharaoh said, bring me 8 pits worth of oxen. And so they did.
One little note. I know Clemson's vastly more talented. But just to add one other little wrinkle that indicates that you should pay moderate attention to this game. Who's starting at quarterback for Clemson?
Oh, I don't know this, actually. I'm assuming it's not Kelly Bryant, then.
Zoroaster Ramirez, I'm guessing.
Zoroaster Ramirez. No, actually.
Well, hold on. I'm seeing here that I'm seeing here that as of yesterday, they do expect Kelly Bryant to start.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm.
With what? Well, a banged up ankle.
Okay. Yeah. Guess we're good then.
Yeah.
Right. He's been good. Dabo Swinney has been encouraged by his progress. Are we going to get a straight answer before game time? No. Not one bit. Is he going to be 100%? No, I'm sorry. If you've ever messed up your ankle at all and then tried to play a sport, you'll know it's not a loyal friend. It can go on you at any minute. So, just saying. I know they're second and third teamers. They're fine. Third teamer in particular, who I believe has a very Clemson name, like an extremely Clemson name. Like, Kelly Bryant's a pretty Clemson name. Their third stringer has, like, a crazily Clemson name.
Hold on.
And I will remember it in just a moment.
Hunter Johnson.
A.K.A. Johnson Hunter.
Yeah, it's...
Quarterback will work.
Clemson is the opposite of Georgia. Georgia quarterbacks have to have two first names. Clemson quarterbacks need to have two last names.
Yep. Kelly Bryant.
Mm-hmm. Zarek Cooper. Yep. Hunter Johnson. Yep.
Sure. Taj Boyd. It works. Don't say it doesn't.
Deshaun Watson is a little bit of a problem, but not as much as you think. What this weekend is going to be good for, though, because there are, I believe, no ranked versus ranked matchups, right?
Right.
Neither of you is telling me no, so I'm going to assume that's right. But there are what I think are a lot of good, like, oh, come the fuck on games for teams that are potentially sick of their head coach, starting with Illinois playing Rutgers. Illinois this season is 2-3. Those two wins came against Ball State by 3 points and Western Kentucky. They got killed by USF. They got killed by Nebraska. They got killed by Iowa. If they can't beat Rutgers, I think there will be some serious hand-wringing going on, to the extent that there ever is serious hand-wringing about Illinois football in the last, like, 5 years. I also like North Carolina against Virginia, because that's a team that has one win this year against Old Dominion. They didn't look competitive against Notre Dame or Georgia Tech or Louisville. They lost to Cal. They lost to Duke. And if they can't beat a UVA team that is 4-1 and has, like, looks like they are starting to turn a little bit of a corner here, that could be the start of some problems for Larry Fedora. And then you have my favorite one, which is UCLA at Arizona. UCLA is still above 500, still just has losses to Memphis and Stanford. And Arizona, we didn't talk about what Arizona did last week, and I think that's a shame, because Arizona sent a quarterback out there who had a, like, efficient passing day. Khalil Tate went 12 of 13 for 150 yards and a touchdown. That's not the important number. Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, can I ask about his rushing numbers? How do you do on the ground?
He had 327 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns. Do you remember how many attempts he needed to get 327 yards?
I believe 13. It was 13?
14.
Yeah? 14.
14. Averaging over 23 yards a fucking carry. Which means that Arizona could have intentionally held on first down and still picked up a first down just by giving Khalil Tate the ball right after that on 1st and 20. Not great, Colorado, let's say that. So yeah, UCLA's defense hasn't exactly been the strength of the team. Exciting to see if they can turn it around, or if Jim Mora's just gonna say, fuck it. You know what? I'll go take the Chargers job now. It's my turn.
My turn to take the Chargers job. Pass the baton.
It's my time.
I like for coaching angst.
Mm-hmm.
What about Michigan, Indiana? Because Yes, we're all being told that Jim Harbaugh is now terrible and bad, worst coach ever, because he lost a game by 4 points in a monsoon. But if you lose to Indiana, okay, now you've lost two in a row, and now you're going to Penn State next week. That could be three in a row. You also lost your last two games of last year, so that could be a 4-5 run for Jim Harbaugh. And you know, most of those were, all the losses so far were very close.
And to seemingly good teams.
Not look great.
Yeah. Indiana is not a team that you really want to lose to. Especially an Indiana team that...
And also Indiana.
...that got pretty well pasted by the two Big Ten teams it faced so far, Ohio State and Penn State.
Yeah. But, you know, luckily for Harbaugh, as we know, the Hoosiers are the world's greatest team at getting up by about 10 and then losing by about 20.
Yeah.
So... No pressure there.
You know what, Michigan, by the way, just looking 1 week down the road, Michigan has a chance to Michigan State, Penn State, right? Because this is the circle of pain they have in that division, right? That all of them have these, I think, countervailing strengths and weaknesses. Because remember that last year, Michigan and Penn State, how'd that work out?
Ugly, as I recall.
Yeah, it was bad. It was the loss that pretty much put off anyone just putting Penn State in the playoff, because they're like, yeah, you know, they only have that loss right there. However, let's look at that loss.
God, I forgot how bad this was.
Oh, it was pulverizing. I don't think that's a good matchup just by style, right? Because Penn State relies on these very large shock and awe plays that open up the rest of that offense, right? And Don Brown's defense relies on, I hate you and everything you stand for, and we're going to keep you within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, and that includes you, Saquon Barkley. And Northwestern's defense, Saquon Barkley is mortal. If you devote your entire defense to stopping him, he won't be able to do much. And last year, well, Penn State would answer by saying, well, we'll just throw to Godwin. We'll just, you know, go over your head. We'll just open up this offense, and then we'll get you to back up a little bit, and then, woo, Saquon's got a playground. That's not quite the case this year, and I think against a defense like Michigan's, that's just a bad matchup. Now, will Michigan State be able to respond offensively against Penn State's defense? No, not one bit. Will you be able to sort of scrape together points and coupon this thing out? Absolutely. That could totally happen.
Yeah.
Is this like a 12-9 game? Yeah. Yeah, this feels like a 12-9 game. So I don't, like, whatever happens with Michigan-Indiana, it's not really kind of what you're looking for in the Big Ten. What you're looking for is Michigan State or Michigan-Penn State to see if Michigan can play their own sort of personal Mark D'Antonio to Penn State.
It's important to be able to wear many hats. The other version of the coach stress game is not the you lost to a team that does not have much of a profile or prestige right now. The other version is you got annihilated by a very good team. We have two of those on the schedule, maybe three actually, on the schedule as well, because Arkansas gets to play Alabama, Nebraska gets to play Ohio State, and you know what? Missouri, Georgia. Those are all the games where you can see somebody, I mean, similar to the Tennessee-Georgia game, where it's not that you lost to a superior opponent, rather. It's that they treated you like a kitten toy, that they just threw you around and eventually ripped you open and ate everything and then threw it back up. What I'm talking about here is this is the week where sort of you, college football fans of maybe embattled coaches, will be able to determine, is there a fit? Because it's all about fit. Isn't that right, Spencer?
Oh, what a seamless transition to our sponsor this week. That's right. This podcast has sponsors. Real sponsors. Quality sponsors. And this week, I want to talk to you about a way that men can get better clothes. And what man is better suited, pun fully intended, to talk to you about better clothing than me? That's right. Bombfell. Bombfell's a way for men to get clothes. Good clothes, quality clothes, clothes that fit you, your style, your personality, and most importantly, your physique and budget. No one likes shopping, by the way. Like, shopping's traumatizing. Particularly traumatizing for me, because as a confession, I have an unusual butt. If you have a weird butt, it's very hard to go shopping. For pants, for shirts, for anything. It upsets the entire balance of your spirit to take a moment out of your day, go to a store, and realize that no one's making clothes for you. That's incorrect. Bombfell finds that. It's an easier way for you to get better clothes. And this, there's one great element to this. You get a stylist. Now, this is a very troublesome and weird thing for me to admit, because I do not like to spend money. I do not like to focus on myself unless I'm talking about me on a podcast. All right? I don't like it. It's awkward. I think a lot of men are like this. You don't want to go shopping. You're just like, I don't know. Just go buy some pants. I'll make them work. I'll soldier through. You won't get them tailored. You'll just soldier through. Incorrect. You could do better. And Bombfell will help you, because the stylist will email you your selections after you fill out a very simple form. Tell them your preferences and your style. And I will tell you that even after you do this, you can modify and they will work with you. They will work with the most troublesome of you. And you say, oh, well, you know, they couldn't possibly do that with me. I'm just far too, like, obnoxious and, like, petty and, like, small-minded and just, I'm a terrible customer. You can't be a worse customer than me. This is correct, Jason, right? It's correct, Ryan.
Oh, you are... I guess I would describe your body type as shapeless, unclothable, sort of... You know how when Jedi get old, they just sort of start wearing these loose-fitting robe, like, car covers, and they're just like, yeah, Don't worry about what's under here. There's a lightsaber and a hand, and that's it. The rest is just unviewable body mass. That's sort of where I think you're at right now.
So there's Legos, they have mini figures. What if they also had, like, thick figures? Like a thick Lego man.
Maxi figures.
Right. It's basically like trying to dress an appliance. That's what it's like trying to find clothes for me. Okay? And yet... Bombfell is trying, and they are doing very, very well. I got a package this week after filling out my form and talking with my stylist online, and I sent it all back. But that's not the point. The point is, when I sent it back with feedback, and they said, oh, here's what you liked, here's what you didn't like. You get another one next month. We'll see if we can get a little bit closer. My point is, I'm a pain in the ass. A square, weird, bulbous ass that no pants on the planet properly fit, except for the ones I tried on this week from Bombfell, which came within, like, I don't know, probably like 5 degrees out of 100 of fitting.
Next week they're just gonna send you a tarp with a rope.
That'd be fine. That'd fit. That'd be great. The point is, I gave them feedback. They responded. You get a preview email. Next time we'll take a look at it. We'll work through it. They'll be like, I hate this guy, but it's my job. And they'll get it right.
Yeah, it's not... Let's be clear. The problem is that Bombfell is for humans, and Spencer is a Yeti.
That's right. But they're so good, I'm pretty sure they're going to get correct clothing for this Yeti. In fact, the shirt they sent, and this is something that men will definitely, like, appreciate, was not only long enough for my weirdly huge torso, it was the correct size in the shoulder, and did not make me look like a, you know, it didn't make me look like Jay Glazer in a suit. You know, Jay Glazer wears suits and right. Just sort of like pops all out of him, even though he's like 5'6".
Yeah, he looks right? like he looks like Big Hero 6.
Exactly, right? for those of you with that Baymax physique, Bombfell can work with that. All you need to do, right, sign up. You tell them your measurements and your style preferences, which I got wrong, by the way, as if I wasn't like, I was like, I'll just go with classic because I can't possibly get it right. And I emailed them back and they're like, no, we got it. Okay, that's what you like. Cool. You tell them what budget limits you're comfortable with. You tell them, you set up the order, you say what you like, and then you schedule when you want it. And, you know, they could surprise you if you're that kind of person. Don't ever surprise me. You get a preview email. You can cancel anything you don't like. Then they ship it in 48 hours. Then you have 7 days. 7 days. Try it on. I'm the world's worst person at time management, and I will tell you, even I managed to do this all within 7 days. All right? And I say that as somebody who has my dead dog's ashes still on the counter of my kitchen from like 4 years ago.
I was going to say, that was not recent.
No. Still sitting in a nice ornamental tin, all right? And even I follow the extremely simple and clear system that Bonfell gives you to send clothes back, all right? You got 7 days to try them on before they charge you for these very nice clothes they sent you, a total stranger. Then you can pay for what you keep, return the rest. Shipping is free both ways. And you know what? You can order it for your partner, by the way. So don't, if you're a lady listening to this.
Yeah. That way is fine. Don't do it the other way.
Yeah. Don't do it the other way. No. Bonfell is not interested in that. Bonfell is more than happy, though, to get you better clothing for your partner. You can sign up for them and surprise them. You never know. Even my point being, even a rhino wants to look, you know, pretty swanky out on the town every now and then.
Yeah, because Spencer is a garage fridge with a head and arms doesn't mean he can't look nice. Doesn't mean he can't go to weddings and functions and court appearances. Okay? Don't discriminate against this weird refrigerator man hybrid. Okay? He loves Fresca. He loves it.
That part's not true, actually. It's a fine grapefruit.
Grapefruit soda. It's calorie free. Just tell them about the special offer.
Yeah. So the special offer, here we go. You get $25 off your first purchase. Look at that. Look at that. You get $25 off, 25 American dollars. All you got to do, go to BOMBFELL. That's bombfell.com. BOMBFELL.com with the special code. Oh yeah, we got a special code. Bombfell.com/shutdown, as in shutdown fullcast. That would be bombfell.com/shutdown. $25 off your first purchase. Go ahead, give it a shot. I'm the least likely person in the world, and I've been extremely happy with it. Because if they get me right, they can get anyone right. And that includes if Baymax is literally listening to this podcast. So that's
Man,
it.
Y'all, listen. Spencer wore overalls on national TV like a week ago. So if they can get him looking right, they can handle you.
That's right. Bombfell. Open and closed. Another successful ad read, boys.
Good job. We have a few charity ad reads we're going to knock out here as well. First, some shout outs to generous listeners Nick Bender, Jeff Kelly, Richard at DC3_tweets, Susan at Boat Drinks, which, what a good Twitter handle that is, Boat Drinks. She's a Syracuse fan, so insert good things said about. We actually like Syracuse fine now that they have Dino Babers. We're very pro Syracuse. This is an incredibly fickle podcast, except when it comes to Florida, which Spencer and I secretly loathe, not secretly, and Jason loves above all other programs and things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Bogat.
Covered against LSU. Covered the spread against LSU.
And Mike Bogats. Thank you all for donating. Also, this from Dave Green has asked me to say, I'm Ryan Nanny, and South Jersey and cannoli are my favorite things ever, and that will never change. Cannoli is good. I bet Spencer hates cannoli, if I had to guess.
They're just nonsensical to me.
Sure, that's fine.
It's like a mediocre cookie.
It's a little pastry penis. Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm not gonna judge that part, but it's like, can you give me something that's very, very dry,
right,
and not really sweet, and then stuff it with something that's creamy?
Sure,
but.
It's like you asked a computer from 1992 to make a taco.
It's a lot like this. It tastes like the beta version of dessert.
Right. Is this what you wanted? Press Y to continue. And
yeah, it's just kind of slabby and uninteresting, right? It feels like, are you still hungry? Well, if you put fat in your stomach, you probably won't be. Here's a convenient carbohydrate carrying case for that.
Jason has a couple.
Oh, are y'all talking about those little things that are like mom made pizza rolls, but she put Cool Whip in them?
Essentially, yes.
Those little tube things.
I did not know that we'd have to explain what cannoli were, but yeah. Yeah.
I've never sat down and said, I'll have the cannoli, but no, I've had those things. So I can confirm they're not very good.
I think they're fine. And according to Dave, they're my favorite thing ever. Jason has a couple to read as well.
From Leland Hague or Hage, we have a recommendation. Skip Holtz for Mizzou. I was looking into this one, trying to find any connection whatsoever to the state of Missouri for Skip Holtz. First of all, that's irrelevant because we're talking about a man from Connecticut who played his college ball in Indiana, then went to Florida, Colorado, back to Indiana, Connecticut, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, and now to Louisiana. And his father, of course, bounced from Arkansas, Minnesota, South Carolina, also Indiana. When I say Indiana, I'm referring to
the Jets,
you know, a certain famous school in Indiana.
The New York Jets.
The Chargers. They both coached the Chargers at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But that is sort of the connection to Mizzou, if you think about it. Because, you know, Mizzou famously, no one really knows what region it's in. We kind of want to say it's in the South because it has a team in the SEC. But, like, it's pretty Midwestern and it's also pretty heartland. And it's also kind of like Arkansas. But, you know, that man without a place, I think that really fits a state without a place. And also, I found a quote when he first got to USF at his intro presser. They said, "Now beat Florida!" And he said, "That's why I'm here!" And then he lost by like 24. Again, I think he's a great fit for Mizzou, just for those two reasons I just mentioned.
I mean, I guess it works. I can't see why it wouldn't. What are the alternatives?
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
You could hire Brett Bielema, probably.
No.
Pretty soon.
Nope.
Just import him across the border.
Nope.
You could...
Why are we sending him to a state with more pornography? No.
I think he's earned that.
It's a valid point.
Well, we're getting him one state closer to his native land of Iowa.
Sure.
Just keep advancing him across the board.
But we're sending him, are we delaying his move to the San Diego, the LA Chargers? That's the real question. That's actually the answer. We probably could convince people that in between the Wisconsin and Arkansas jobs, Bielema did a year with the Chargers and then left because it wasn't for him.
Hmm. Probably, yeah. Okay. Let's say Bobby Petrino also. Just every Arkansas coach had a pit stop with the Chargers.
Let's edit the fuck out of the Chargers Wikipedia page.
Yeah, how about we just have the listeners do that? Just go wild on the Chargers Wikipedia page. You'll never get caught.
Right.
Why would anyone ever look at it?
Right.
You know? All they have to do is update the city name every 20 years or so. That's all anyone ever does to it. So y'all just have fun.
I have a challenge.
And we didn't do it.
Can we get more people editing the Chargers Wikipedia page than there are in the stands for a game in LA?
Definitely.
Over the course of a single.
30,000 people right now.
We can probably get everybody at the game editing the Wikipedia page from the game.
And then you just need a plus one.
Yeah. Problem solved.
Imagine explaining Wikipedia to Philip Rivers. Like, listen, the only book I know of was edited 6,000 years ago. You can't tell. A book can be edited right now? That's ridiculous.
Well, no, I think you can explain it to him by being like, yeah, nobody knows exactly how big it is, and there are new pages added all the time, and, you know, it's just sort of a cluttered mess, and be like, oh, like, family planning. Yeah, this sounds right.
It just keeps growing and growing and growing, and the names get weirder and weirder.
What is does it say under my personal life? It says you have 28 kids. That's low. Low.
Yeah, see? Told you. You can't trust anything you read online. It's an outdated fact. Also, another... So, Brendan Watkins. Buddy, you donated to our hurricane relief charity drive, and that's awesome. And with that power you gained by doing that, here is the sentence you sent us to read. There are two types of people. Those who occasionally pee in the shower and dirty fucking liars. That's what Brendan Watkins wanted to do with the platform afforded to him. And you know what? He earned that. And if I'm responsible with weighing in on this, I will agree. I also don't know why anyone would lie about it. Why would that be a
shameful
thing to do? I mean,
who,
like,
who are the people asking?
Hey, asshole, did you just pee in my shower? What, were you watching me? First of all, secondly, it did go down the drain. The water was on.
Is that why you made asparagus for dinner last night? Just to catch me?
Hey, man, so while we were on vacation for 3 weeks, did you go in my house and pee in the shower every day and not run the water at all? Huh? No, it wasn't me. Wasn't me. Nope, 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 nope. I used your backyard the whole time. Oh, okay, that's cool. That's not weird.
But I did get your mail, so we're even.
I peed on your mail. I peed in your mailbox, like by the way.
Most of the friction for this comes from Seinfeld, which had a notoriously germophobic agenda, right?
Especially because for people who lived in fucking New York.
Yeah.
The dirtiest city in North America. Something touched my plate. Fuck you! Every day you ride in a metal tube surrounded by rats.
Yeah. You live in a concrete box that's built on rats.
That's built on rats and rat carcasses and rat poop.
Yeah. Like, Alexander Hamilton is buried, like, 800 feet from your head.
And he's covered in rats! Just covered in rats!
Like, anyone who lives in Alexander Rattleton, or like it. Yeah, you live in a place that had one of America's last cholera outbreaks. You live in a city that, at this very moment, is home to Donald Trump, a living piece of human filth. Like, that's who was born there and bred out of it. You know what he's made of? Rats.
The only places where there aren't rats is because there are bed bugs and the rats fucking hate them.
Right, and you know what that's called? A turf war. That's what West Side Story was originally about.
Rats and
bed bugs.
They were
like, I don't know, people can't relate to rats and bed bugs, so we'll have to make them people. Otherwise, we're just coming.
I don't think Natalie Wood can play bed bug. We screen tested her, and she's really bad at, like, breaking the skin. That's the main problem.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
That's it. Like, there's a system, right? That's my favorite part. Even rats and bedbugs. Yeah, there's a racket. There's a system. We got a turf.
I got a guy.
Yeah, there are these bedbugs union? No, man. This ain't happening at all.
I got a guy who... He'll sell your bedbugs to the rats. Make a fortune.
Yeah, I mean, like, most things on Seinfeld anyway were, like, these very mundane points about horrible people who obsessed over tiny little things because they didn't have, like, anything to do. It's the most 90s sitcom ever where they're like... What's wrong? Yeah, something's wrong with my soup. As opposed to, like, 2017, where it's like what's wrong? Oh, everything's God. On fire.
Oh, God. Everyone hates everyone, and everyone is getting shit upon. And the rats are still here. Still rats!
Rats are allies. That's fine.
Rats are eternal.
Rats, welcome to the resistance.
Comma, comma, comma. Welcome.
Extremely woke bed bugs.
Yeah, just go ahead and pee in the shower, right? That's fine. It might be a little rude if you do it in the collective shower, but I don't know. Collective showering is weird anyway, so go ahead and pee in the sink. I don't care.
Reviewing the schedule for the last time, is there anything else y'all feel we have failed to hit upon? Things people should be looking out for? Teams they should maybe watch for the first time if they haven't had a chance, et cetera, et cetera.
So the SEC schedule for the rest of the way has been shat upon pretty justifiably because it sort of looks like, well, we're just waiting on Bama, Georgia, Auburn, and the Iron Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't skip over LSU, Auburn just yet. Like, yes, on paper, this is a horrific matchup for LSU because, like, Auburn is not only, like, built to beat this LSU team that has been, you know, bad at run defense and can't really do much on offense other than throw. Like, Auburn is also kind of, like, what LSU aspires to be, or at least so far in the year. That's how it's looked. But the game's at Death Valley, and weird stuff happens. And, like, so you get to sort of just hand-wave all that with, like, I don't know. Auburn's on, like, a 0-8 run there, so we'll see what happens. So, like... You know, for that, it's sort of like a heart versus mind kind of thing, where, like, this looks terrible for LSU, but, yeah, no, it kind of looks terrible for Auburn, too. And that sounds like a great game. Just awful for everyone.
You should not watch Texas A&M at Florida, but you should keep in mind that either Florida will lose to the Aggies having to wear those horrendous uniforms, or Texas A&M will have to accept that they lost to people wearing those horrendous uniforms. And I know Spencer and I each briefly touched upon it, but the worst thing about them is that they're going to look horrible on big dudes. There is a reason that every time they do these uniform reveals, they send out like a running back or a safety or somebody who's like lean and trim. And some of that is just like they've determined that's going to be the best way to present the uniform. Some of it is also that these alternates are going to look a fucking nightmare on a guy with any kind of gut whatsoever. They're horrifying. Mm-hmm.
Yep. They're going to look bad. They're going to look, honestly, you know what they're going to look like? Going to look like when your 8-year-old goes back and gets their 4-year-old Halloween costume, right? And you're like, oh, you got so big.
I can see your tummy.
Yeah, that doesn't fit at all. You look like the world's biggest toddler. This is bad.
I would also say pay attention to Colorado at Oregon State because of everything we just mentioned. And because Gary Anderson made the very curious choice to leave after this run of games, losing to Minnesota, a like still very competent Minnesota team, losing to Wazoo, Washington, and USC, two of those on the road. And that's when he decided to pull the ripcord. Ahead for Oregon State are Colorado, Stanford, Cal, Arizona, Arizona State, and Oregon. So you can already see the narrative being written here of like, Gary Anderson abandoned his 1-5 team, but they rallied to finish the season 5-7. The pride of Corvallis. He was the problem all along. Gary, man, you did it wrong. You're not supposed to leave right before the possible good times are coming. Idiot.
I would point out a couple things as the SEC's schedule kind of enters a trough. Right? You can turn to other conferences for entertainment. We used to rag on the ACC before they became a capital M, most capital E, excellent official conference, right? For the nation. We used to say, oh man, there's just a lot of parity and everybody's going to go 7-5 or 5-7. This is one of those weekends where it'll kind of look like that because you got games that I think will all finish 24-17, right? Like 24-17, all of these games. But that means they'll be close. They'll be good. You also get to watch Florida State struggle to get their second win of the season against Duke, which that's a struggle. I don't care. Duke's a tough team. They might not be great, but they're very, very annoying to play. They do a lot of things to make the game as difficult as possible for you, both on defense and on offense.
There's
like
also
a mountain. Go ahead.
Well, there's also the possibility within the conference that we get to see the flip side. Everybody says, oh, you know, Miami, they have a good start to the year, then they lose to Florida State, and then they swoon. What if the swoon happens anyway? What if it doesn't really matter what happens in the Florida State game? You get to play Georgia Tech. Nobody wants to play Georgia Tech.
What if you do that on purpose, just to say, look at Florida State. You lost to a 7-5 team.
Look how meaningless you were, Florida State.
Let me go ahead and tell you, too. You want a banger? You want a game that's going to have some swings? You want a game that's going to hit the over sometime in the third quarter? Navy at Memphis, baby!
Ooh, that's not where I thought you were going to go, but I like it.
No. Navy at Memphis. That's, you get the nation's leading rushing attack going up against a volatile Memphis team capable of putting up 28 and a quarter. Riley Ferguson, whose dad this week said, thank God my son escaped the dumpster fire at Tennessee. And you know that he posted that on Facebook because people disagreed with that statement. People are like, why are you calling Tennessee a dumpster fire?
I assume it's because you can put a dumpster fire out and it's self-contained.
All good point.
Tennessee's going to spread somehow.
Sir, when discussing Tennessee, the correct term is dumpsters fire.
Dumpsters fire. And you know why we call it a dumpster fire? Because we got passion.
Because we play. Because we play with heat. All right. We convert the garbage that the media spews, and we turn it into heat and energy.
When we take a turnover, we put it in the garbage can. Where do you think we dump all the garbage cans? Into the dumpster fire.
She's got a conflagration of footballs in there, burdened with the spirit of champions.
And then we take the garbage bin and we take it to the landfill of victory.
But you won't report on that, will you? You won't report on the landfill of victory, which is just a part of the body farm that I dug up without permission.
Neyland Stadium, the landfill of victory.
The game I thought you were going to say for, like, look for this to get points-tastic quick, I assumed you were referring to the Red River respectable disagreement.
Oh, man. You mean the family mediation?
Yes.
Between Oklahoma and Texas?
The Red River, I have the talking stick now.
Yes. I did not think that. However, we do have an unusual quarterback matchup in the darting, dashing Baker Mayfield and the thundering Ehlinger. The young man who I'm still impressed that he completely elbowed and just forearm shivered a Kansas State linebacker in the head. It probably could have been, like, thrown out for that, realistically.
Right.
But he was hot. I think it happened, and the refs were like, let him go. He's on fire.
Yeah, they were like, oh, my God. That was amazing. Yeah, a Texas team that really looked like they were just going to lose to Kansas State again, but pulled it out and played pretty well, I think.
Dude, he had, like, almost 500 yards of offense by himself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were a little plotting running the ball, but not too bad overall. And an Oklahoma team that, well, we already know what happened there. I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. No meaningful resolution or prediction or even inkling. And I say that because I said Iowa State had no chance to beat OU.
When you play at 11 o'clock Central in an intense rivalry game, I just feel like you're asking for erratic, no, atypical results.
This game isn't that early now. This game is
Did they move it?
It's at 3:30.
Yeah, they bumped it down.
It's at 3:30 Eastern.
Oh, dang it.
Although that just gives you more time to eat fair food. I don't know if that's good. Have you seen the fair, one of our Notre Dame coworker Jessica sent me the list of the the specialty items that they have at the fair at the Texas State Fair every year. Mm-hmm. We're talking deep fried Fruit Loops. We're talking funnel cake bacon queso burger. We're talking a tamale donut, which actually looks kind of good. The most confusing one, and there's no photo of it, I assume because that would qualify as some sort of war crime. Oreo beer.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, these are all the things you can fill your body with in a desperate attempt to kill it rather than watch Oklahoma, Texas with having a rooting interest in that game.
I think still the greatest State Fair of Texas food I've ever heard of, and this list includes, like, chicken fried cactus, right, and, like, fried latte is fried salad.
Right.
That's how fucking Texas this is. They will fry a salad. That's amazing, man. Well, and you're going to put these people out there in that for three and a half more hours? What is wrong with
breaded
you?
Breaded and battered multivitamins.
I like the idea that, they show that.
Fried water. Woohoo!
Don't act like it. If Big Tex burns down again, that's all I want. I want them to build Big Tex so he can burn down every year for the fair.
It was the most memorable Big Tex appearance by far.
Big Tex, the giant
so
statue.
Like Burning Man, but
he's sort of like a cowboy phoenix.
Instead of doing Burning Man, just do like Shooting Man. Everyone goes and shoots Big Tex.
That'd be great. And he just burns down every year, and then he rises like a phoenix from the ashes, right? Then finally, like, I think the last point I'd make on on Jan's schedule this week that if you're down on this week, remember things will go wrong, things will go sideways, and you're not Tennessee, because Tennessee has to play South Carolina, and South Carolina is not a great football team. But you know what Tennessee's doing this week?
Leadership reps. That's what they're doing this week.
No. We're taking the turnovers. We're putting them in the dumpster fire of our passion, mm-hmm. right? We're also going to take that to the landfill of victory. And then guess who runs the landfill of victory and has for the last, since he was hired as a head coach in 2011? That'd be Will Muschamp. Will Muschamp's run the landfill of victory for years. So he'll take all that, he'll make a big pile, he'll point to it, and then he'll probably set that on fire again.
You separate your recyclables, son? Doesn't matter. I'm burning it all anyway.
That's Will Muschamp, the guy who runs your county dump the way he's run it since 1952. County told him to sort his garbage, and he's like, yeah, I'll sort it. I'll sort of put it in a pile and burn it. That's what I'll do.